and dismays and its value so many ways. It just loses its attraction some way. But the Christian life, it starts off being good, and it just keeps getting better and better. Man, when you save, that's good, but it just keeps getting better and better. And that's the theme of these chapters on the Christian life. It just keeps getting better and better. I don't know very much about the Word of God now. I know a little bit more than when I was first saved. But the more I know about the Word of God, the more I know about Jesus, the more I love Him. Because I understand more that He loved me. And that's the theme of the rest of this book, is how God loved us so much. The love of God. The love of God. So let's read a couple of verses of Scripture, maybe three here tonight. These verses 1, 2, and 3 in chapter 3. And think about the love of God. Behold, verse 1, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, and as he is pure. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're just going to have a thanksgiving here this night. A thanksgiving for that great love. Oh, we want to thank You and praise You so much for that love. We don't understand it, Father, how much You love us, but we know that You did, because You was willing to die on the cross. Father, You proved Your love to each and every one of us, and for this whole world, that You was willing to die on the cross. We was yet in our sin, that You was willing to die for us. Oh, how great that love, and that love, Lord, that You demonstrated when You walked here on this earth. And we thank You, Lord, for, Lord, showing us that love here on this earth as You walked, Lord, in this old human body. But, Father, we want to thank You now for the Holy Spirit of God, for the Word of God, Lord, that reveals to us, the Son of God, that we truly can love Him because He loved us first. And, Father, we want to ask You, Lord, this night, help us love You more and help us to see that love that You bestowed upon us, that great love from heaven. We want to thank You and praise You. And, Lord, we know that You do love us. And, Father, all these names, ones we have on our hearts and our minds, and ones in the hospital and the prayer box, and we call out and we just prayed for. Again, Lord, we'd just like to add another added attraction, Lord, to Your love, because, Lord, through these sickness, Father, Your name might be glorified. And we thank You and we praise You for what You're going to do. And we thank You this night in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the key of the chapter 1 and 2 is back in chapter 1, verse 5. It says, God is light. So as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. That tells us we need to walk in the light, have fellowship with Him. But we're moving on now to the key now of sonship. And the key of that verses, chapters 3, 4, and 5 is in chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You must know God to have this great love. The light makes it possible for us to have fellowship with God. God is love. It makes it possible for us to have sonship, or be His sons in Christ Jesus. That's what makes it possible. He loved us. That's the reason we are His sons and daughters of God, because He loved us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God commendeth His love towards us, and while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that great verse of Scripture, John 3:16, for God so, all we could figure out was in that great word, that so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Can you just think about that? God so loved. When you come to understand the love of God and you study the love of God, it really will transform your life. When you think the love of God, how much He loved you and what type of love and how He loves us today, when we get to understand it more and more, it will transform our life. And you know what? When we do this, we can't help but love other people. We don't have this capacity in ourselves, but we understand the love of God, and we take this love of God in. It helps us to love other people. And you can't help but love other people, because the benefit of love of God can bring into our lives great, great joy. You see, lost people, there's two things. One thing, a lost person, they don't understand us. They don't understand why a person will come in the middle of the week and quit their activities, come in from work when they're tired and give out some type of, they don't even have time to eat supper, gather up the kids if you got kids, bring them out to church. They don't understand why you would do this. I mean, they have no idea why that we do what we do on Wednesday night or come on Sunday. They don't understand us. They don't understand anything about us, because they don't have this love in their heart. They don't understand us. And second thing, they don't want to understand us because they have no time for the things of God. They have no time for the things of God. The love of God makes it possible, three things now, for our present position. That's the love of God. He makes it possible for our present position. But also our projected potential that we have, the love of God makes this possible. But also our personal practice that we have in our life. That makes it possible. The love of God. Let's take the first one now. Our present position that we have in Christ Jesus. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the Son of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. God's love made it possible for me and you to be in the family of God. He loved us when we was unlovable. He still loved us. He loved us when we was lost and without hope. He still loved us. So we know that Father loved us. He called us. We are being adopted by God. But it was undeserving love. Me and you did not deserve the love of God. Nothing that we've done called us to deserve it. But God loves us. God's love was like a mighty river flowing. As you see on television sometime, a flood river, a flood out its stages and go every direction and fill every little hole and wash away a great stuff. See, this love of God, it fills every little area of our life. And the love of God reached down and it filled the areas of my life and your life and the sins we had when we were so wretched as we was. But it flooded over our sins, this love of God did, and covered our sins. I've often thought about children in orphanages. A lot of times they adopt children out of orphanage, but I read several times where someone would go to an orphanage or little kids and they would be maybe disfigured some way or another, maybe by fire, or either they'd be crippled or be some type of sickness. And all the other kids in the orphanage would be adopted out, but those people, those kids that had disfigurements and, you know, have maybe a birth defect. It takes a special kind of person to go to an orphanage and adopt someone with a birth defect. Are, you know, scars. It takes a special kind of love for that, would you say? Knowing that you're getting a child that may not never walk. Knowing you're getting a child that some type of birth defect may not be able to read or to write or play with other kids, but yet you're going to adopt that child. Would that take a special type of love? That's exactly what God done for you and me. We were scarred by sin. We had a birth defect. But he loved us just like we were. And all that scars of life that you and I, and all the crippleness we have of the fall, you see, then all the birth defects that comes along with this fallen nature. We have a mighty God that come in with that great love. And that great love just overlooked all of our disabilities. It overlooked all of our falls and our failures. And God loved us. That's the type of God that we're serving tonight. Oh, now, we did not deserve this type of love. It was undeserving love. But it was so unselfish love. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? His only begotten Son. It was a love, unselfish love. He was ready to leave heaven and come down to this old earth. Father bestowed upon us this love. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of man might become the sons of God. That's what type of love he had, the unselfish love. We're going to leave heaven and going down the cross of this old cruel world that I might be in you one day, have a place in heaven. God done that for you because we might be the sons of God. This unique love he has. What manner of love, it says. God so loved the world. It says, what, verse 1, what manner of love is this? And that gives a phrase, has a phrase there, from what country did this love come from? What manner of love? What country? It's not from this earthly origin. That's not where it originated at, not from this earth, but from another world. Y'all remember in Mark, whenever Jesus Christ, the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus Christ calmed the storm, waves, peace be still, he said. Then you know what the disciples said? What manner of man is this that the sea obey him? That same word, what manner of man, tells us about saying, what country did this man come from? And it says the same thing, what manner of love? What type of love? It come from a different world. It didn't come from this world. The same as Jesus Christ. What manner of men? It come from another country. It tells us in 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then that we all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of a person ought ye be to obey the holy ordinance of God? What manner of man? Well, we ought to be then. See, we come from another world also because we have the living God that lives in us tonight. The saved out of this world kind of love. That's what it is. I could not imagine this type of love whenever I was lost, could you? But it's a saved, out of this world type of love. Life of love is origin from heaven. That's what type of love I understand, and the love of God from heaven. Love of God cannot be fully explained, can it? Can anybody explain the love of God? Could it be fully comprehended? Can you comprehend and understand all about the love of God? No, you can't. Can you fully describe the love of God? No, there's no way. No way. George Beverly Shea, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. To think about God love me. That's a great wonder, is it not? And it keeps getting better and better, it says. Verse 1 again. Therefore this world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Gospel of John chapter 1, 10 and 11 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own received him not. The very one that created this world come to this world, Jesus Christ, and yet this world knew him not. This world saw a demonstration of love of God they never saw before. They never understood it, but they saw in Jesus Christ, he demonstrated the type of love the Father had. Yet they criticized Jesus Christ. Yet they mocked him. Yet they drove him to the cross with nails. Today would be the same thing. If he walked on this earth today, Jesus Christ would have no time for him. This church represents Jesus Christ, I'll tell you that. And the people have no part of the church, have no part with Jesus Christ. You cannot separate God's love from a church. Second thing, the love of God makes it possible for our projected potential. That's the reason we're here tonight. That's the reason we're here this night. Verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and yet does not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It says, now are we the sons of God. Not one day you will be, but now, the sons of God. Can you ever think about what it means to be in the sons of God? I mean the sons of God. The richness of it. Had you rather have the Big Z warehouse full of bread, or had you rather have the father that owned the bakery of John Durish Bread? Which one would you rather have? There's a lot of bread filled at the Big Z warehouse. But have you rather have that, or had you rather have a father that owned the baking company? You know, that old bread gets stale on it. But I'm going to tell you, that bread, they keep baking it fresh every day. In Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about being took care of, because your father owns them bakeries. You don't have to worry about the money in the bank, because, see, your father owns the banks, the cattle of a thousand hills. Isn't that great? Now, he says, we are the child of God, the love of God. That's salvation. Now, not one day. A lot of people say, maybe if I just make it to heaven, I'll be safe. If I just make it to heaven, I always like to think about one-third of the angels fell from heaven. You're not going to be safe if you get to a place. You're safe in a person, Jesus Christ. Heaven's not safety. No, remember about those angels? They fell. But the safety's in a person right now, Jesus Christ. Wherever he be, I'll be, and I'll be satisfied. But I'll be safe in Christ Jesus. Now we are the sons of God. It does yet appear what we shall be. Brother old Joe brought this up in prayer room the other night in Sunday school class. When we leave these old bodies and we go to be with the Lord, what we're going to be like? We don't know. There's a lot of things we don't know. Just don't know. But it says, when he shall appear, when he comes back after us, he said, we shall be like him, saved. Our greatest potential lies ahead of us. Our greatest potential lies ahead of us. You see, whenever you're saved, that we go through a process of growth. Are you growing? From the time you're saved, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God is going to start working on you. You're going to grow if you're saved. You're going to grow. So our greatest potential is ahead of us. Ahead of us. A growth in, to be like Christ Jesus. This projected potential that we have, every one of us. God looks down, he sees us. Now, we don't see this in other people. We can't see what God can see. I can't see what other people can see. There's Johnny and Joe, when they see a pile of lumber, all I see is a pile of lumber. When they look at a pile of lumber, they see potential of a house, of a building. When I see a pile of lumber, I just see a bunch of pile of lumber. But they carpenters. They see a pile of lumber. They see potentials of a house. out of that pile of lumber. You see, a lot of times you're hearing people say, that's sorry so-and-so. Most of us probably said that. Well, somebody. That sorry person. That old drug addict. That alcoholic. That old drunk. That sorry person. You know what? That's what we see. But no matter who that person is, God sees potential for what that person could be. Because see, God saw you. And he saw me. He saw us in our sins. And other people say, well, they won't never amount to nothing. But God saw you and he gave you this great love, the potential to be what God's called us to be. God sees different than what we see. He is a great carpenter. The world sees sorrow. They see sorrowness, failures. God sees potentials that we can be. This wonderful appearance one of these days. This wonderful appearance one of these days. And it says, when he shall appear. Did you know I'm growing old? Did that surprise any of you? I found that I'm growing old. Are you? You're growing old. Well, there's only two ways that you can look whenever you're growing old. You can look backwards or you can look forward. A lost person, they've only got one way to look, and that's backwards. So most of the time, we find that they're looking back to a lot of unpleasantness in their life. Satan have no happy old people. They can't look to the future because all they see is a grave. But the only way they can look is look back. Because they have no future. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We got glory ahead of us. We got glory ahead of us. Older a person gets that's lost, the more hopeless life becomes for that person. The more meaningful life comes as a lost person. They have no purpose in life. Lord, we saved. All we saved, but you see, we don't have to worry about looking back. We have some present memories of looking back, but you see, we got wonderful future ahead of us. This pleasant anticipation of what one day. Our greatest potential is ahead of us, what we're going to be. Our wonderful destination of what Christ has done for us. It yet does not yet appear what we shall be, but when the rapture of Jesus Christ comes for the church, our hope of growing old, I'm going to tell you, in these old bodies, he'll have a new body for us. He'll have a new body for us. 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us, for now we see through a glass darkly, but when face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. One of these days we'll know more than what we know today, because our faith will turn to sight. We shall be like him as he is. 1 Peter 7:8. It says that the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom have not yet seen, ye love him, and whom now you see him not yet believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The saved, as you grow old, tonight, I don't know how old you are here tonight, but you see, you're growing old, but you're not running out of time. You're growing closer to Jesus. You're going closer to Jesus. You're not running out of time. All you're doing is getting closer to Jesus every day. We shall see him. I often think a lot of times as men goes off to war, and I was reading several little articles about this, and the young people get married, and they go off to war, and this married couple, they was going to have a child, and he was called off the service before the child was born. And when the child was born, he never saw the child, but then she was sending pictures of it all those years he was gone off to military in the war. And he couldn't hardly imagine. He looked at those pictures and see how his child would look. She had seen him with a picture how his child would look. And then one day, as he got back home, he saw that child for the first time. All those pictures just didn't do him justice. As he saw his own child face to face. Well, thank Lord for the Bible. It's a picture of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that draws us a picture through the Bible that we might see Jesus Christ. But it says, oh, we shall see him. We can see him. Now my eyes saw some wonderful things. Thank God for sight. Since I've been in this body, I've saw the Grand Canyon, the sights of this country. I've saw the Niagara Falls, and I've saw the blessed my three sons, my grandkids, and I've seen the sun set over the ocean and the sun rise over the ocean. But when I see Jesus, but now we see through a glass darkly. But when we see him face to face, you know, Jesus can't appear right now before us because you cannot look at Jesus Christ. Because right now, if he's appeared before us right now, you would disintegrate. You cannot look at the holiness of God in these old bodies. Revelation 22:4 said, they shall see his face. All sorrow will be erased when we see his face. Mothers tonight, we know that those 9 months of uncomfort, of childbearing, going down through the valley of the shadow of death, the pain and the sorrow that you go through for 9 months. But mothers tonight, let me ask you, when you see that baby, is it worth it? And all that pain and sorrow seem like it just kind of fades away in the face of that loved one. Well, that's exactly where it's going to be with Jesus, in the face of our loved one. Was it worth it? Abraham was seeking a bride for Isaac. Rebekah went to a far country. She was willing to go to her husband. She loved someone she never saw. But one day she said, all this hard journey that you and I take in one of these days, it'll be over because we'll see Jesus face to face. We shall see him. Romans 8:29. For whom we did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. We'll be like Jesus Christ, purified of our character. Be like him in his nature. No more battle with sin, just this glorified body. Ephesians 3:21 says, for shall change our vile body, that it may be found fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I know one thing, I'll have a satisfied heart. Psalm 17:15 says, as for me, I will behold his face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. That one day is going to happen to you. The Lord love made it possible we might have this personal practice now in our life. These verse 3, I'll read it and maybe in a hurry now. And every man that has this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. That hope that we have, that pureness that he's talking about. You see, there's, in our life, we know that there's a lot of impurity. What hope do you have tonight in your dollar, your stock market? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and his righteousness. Purified himself, even as he is pure. There's two words there in the New Testament there for being pure. One means absolutely pure as Jesus. The other word is maintaining purity, as we should do, to maintain purity. Oh, they're going to be happy days. The happy day. Oh, what a happy day. What's the happiest day of your life? What's the happiest day of your life, if you think back? What's been the happiest day of your life? R.G. Lee, the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church many years ago, he asked his mother one day, mother, what's the happiest day of your life? Well, he thought she was going to say, when I met your daddy and he asked me to marry him. Or maybe whenever my children was born or some great occasion, but she didn't mention that. She said, son, I was raised in the Civil War days. And I met your father, and we had children, and he had to go off to war in the Civil War. He was gone several months, and we got notice back that he was killed in the Civil War. Well, back then, the women had to do most of the work, you know, on the farms. Had to do most of the work on the farms. And she kept on going, and she knows she had to raise her family. She said they made sassafras tea. Only salt they had, but they had to dig up the dirt in no smokehouse. It was hard. Hard work for a woman to build up, bring those youngins. She said one day she's sitting on the porch and she's shelling peas. And she saw a man coming down the lane. And she turned to her child and she says, "That looks like your daddy." And he said, "No, now, Mama, now he's dead in war. Don't build your hopes up. Daddy's dead. He was killed in the Civil War." He said, "That looks like your daddy coming down that lane." And the closer he got, one arm was flapping because he had lost his arm. But he come across that little cotton patch, and she threw them beans down, and she run to meet him. They had made a mistake. He was injured, but he lost his arm. And she went and hugged each other. And he said, "I can remember I hugged my daddy's knees, all I could hug." And he said, "Son, you asked me now what was the happiest day. It's whenever I saw your father again. It was my happiest day." But then she said, "That will be very pale in comparison whenever I see the face of Jesus. When I see Jesus Christ face to face. The happiest day that you might have thought of when I asked you, I'll be mighty pale upside the face of Jesus Christ when he shall appear, we should be like him. When he shall appear, we should be like him." Miss Nancy, I'd like for you to come this hour and just play a song if you don't mind. Would you do that for us? We won't sing. We just won't like ask her to just play something tonight. Someone might want to come to the altar. Just a moment. Won't keep you very long. But we'd like for her to just come play whatever y'all want to play. I'd like for you to think about that happiest day that you've ever had. But I want you to think about that day when you see Jesus Christ. Because it says, now we are the sons of God. Now. But one of these days we'll see his face. I believe what the Word of God said. I believe I'll see Jesus. I believe I'll see Jesus. Have you had a happy life as you stand here tonight? Have you had a happy life, a good life? This Christian life, does it get better and better?